Rule number one, can't interrupt Black Betty. Welcome back live at Baja Rick's Cantina in the Gas Lamp. It's Ben and Woods for one more hour. We've got our Rindle Report coming up here in a couple of minutes. I do want to say, Jesse is all, he knows so much. He's got such great wisdom and perspective on baseball. Even for a younger man, you know, Jesse's been doing this for a while, though, and he understands. He's absolutely correct when he says, the people who cover your team, whether it's us, him, Annie, Kevin Acey, Dennis Lynn, they're always going to have a much better, more nuanced perspective and understanding of what's going on with Manny Machado, even compared to the best of the baseball insiders, like Jeff Passan. We had a great conversation with Jeff yesterday. We all disagree with what Ken Rosenthal wrote today. But the reason why I think it does matter more than Jesse says is that most of the rest of the country isn't reading Kevin Acey. They're not listening to Ben and Woods in Tulsa every day. I know North Carolina's listening. Shout out North Carolina this morning. But when Ken Rosenthal writes that, and then I talked to someone about the Padres, the only thing they're going to talk about is, oh, you covered Manny Machado.
Yeah.
What a bad guy.
What a nightmare.
Is he as bad of a guy as everyone says he is?
Yeah,
and then I have
man.
To, every single time I have to go, no, actually, he's not. He's a really great guy. We've had an incredible relationship. You wouldn't understand what a great leader he is in that clubhouse. Well, that's not what I heard.
Well,
it's like, fine, and here it doesn't matter, but elsewhere it does matter.
Yeah, you'd hate the work that he does, the money that he raises for the Peter Seidler Foundation, every donation he matches. He's one of two players on the team to do that. You'd hate the shelter that he helped build. You know, you'd hate the baseball camp that my son Bo got to go to, where Manny Machado walked around to every individual group, worked with damn near every kid there, and really wanted them to have a special experience. You know, this is the morning after his kid's been up since 4 a.m. I was talking to his wife about it. The Manny Machado that spent 6 hours on a training table just so he could play, you know, you don't hear those stories. Those stories are not written by the national media. You hear them here from us, certainly. But, again, you know,
they don't generate clicks.
Correct.
They don't sell.
Yeah.
So, you know, drama and conflict sell, and that's what they're going to focus on.
Yeah, Dave got what he wanted today, and man, if again, it's just another one of those incidents where Manny's going to have to answer questions about it, and you know what he's going to say. I don't care. I'm ready to play ball. We're out there to play baseball. Manny says play baseball 1,000 times a season. Why? Because that's what he loves to do. He loves to play baseball, and that's what he's going to do. And you know what, man? I think about this. Like, if you've got – I've got kids. My kids emulate Manny Machado. And if my kids have the career and have the personal life, you ever heard of Manny getting in trouble off the field ever once? I've never heard of not one incident.
Zero.
Never. Out too late, drinking and driving, nothing. I've not heard of one single thing about this guy. You know what he likes to do? He likes to go home, be with his wife, be with his kids. That's it. Likes to hang out with family. Like, that's it. So, again, you can paint people with a certain brush for what they do in between the lines. But I do feel, you know what, man, some of the stuff he's gotten early in his career, absolutely warranted. Great. People grow. People change. You wouldn't have been me at 25, you would have absolutely hated me. I wouldn't have been here on time every day. I wouldn't have been ready to go every day. I would have rarely shown up. You know, people change. People are different. But nobody wants to talk about that. So it's just a really disappointing morning, you know, based on the actions of Dave Roberts.
Woods, I want to thank Santos Super Premium additive-free tequila for sponsoring today's broadcast live from Baja Rick's Cantina all day long. We got a couple of bottles here. The Reposado and Pauly there has the mezquila. Got a little bit of the smokiness to it. I thought got a little bit left here.
You're going to put some in your coffee?
Just give it a little.
Oh, you are hard.
A little splash there.
Wow, Benny.
Just add it just for the last hour of the show here today. Thank you, Santo.
Ooh,
it is from Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Sammy Hagar.
This is Hagar's?
Oh, and world now renowned chef Guy Fieri. Santo, work hard, play loud. That is a good. I've never had tequila and coffee. That's a good combination, actually.
I never had it either.
Very tasty.
And didn't know that was a thing.
While I recover from that sip, let's go to Pauly for today's Rindle Report. And get things started here with our today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report.
with Paul Reindel.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Reindel Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a hoy?
All right. Good morning. Good morning. A couple of football notes we did not get to yesterday. Of course, the Aztecs beat the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors.
Yep.
Beat the A1FA.
The A1FA.
But the big news was in the top 25, as it always is, and Texas is your new number one in college football after Alabama lost to Vanderbilt. And I saw that the students over the weekend, I missed that game entirely. I saw the highlights of the students throwing the goalpost into the Cumberland River in downtown Nashville.
Like 2 miles away from the stadium,
They didn't drag it down there.
It was like 14 years ago. The one time I've been to Nashville, we stayed kind of by Vanderbilt, and I go, the river? That's downtown.
Yeah.
I'm like, Broadway, that was a long way. Like, we took a cab ride there, and I looked it up. It's like 3.2 miles that they marched this thing down.
You can't get an Uber with, we got two passengers and goalposts that we're going to be driving downtown. I didn't see any of the game. I was at Dodger Stadium. I just happened to log on to, like, the scores, and I go, what? Vanderbilt beat Alabama 40-35. The Commodores had been 0-60 against top five teams in school history until they beat Alabama. And Alabama coming off that win over Georgia, looking like, not going to miss a beat after Nick Saban's gone. Now Kalen DeBoer probably facing a lot of questions. The old Nick Saban, this never would have happened under Nick Saban.
It never did.
And, it never did. So
we said back in January, you don't want to be the guy that replaces Nick Saban. You want to be the guy that replaces the guy.
Well, he was doing just fine.
He was.
Georgia. It looked like it was just running full steam ahead, and then Vanderbilt happens.
There's a lot of parity in college football this year, more so than we've ever seen, and I think that's a good thing, honestly. Playoffs are going to be fun as hell, electric.
Expanded.
Anybody, it's anybody's ballgame right now. Yep. Ohio State's nasty. These aren't your dad's Commodores. They're not. They have invested in their team, and should be a lot of fun to see how it all plays out.
Yeah, Golden Gophers upset USC, whose playoff chances took a big hit. Washington beat Michigan in a national championship rematch.
Yep.
The Huskies coming through at home.
Parity, baby.
Yeah, Michigan dropped all the way down to 24 after that. Your top five looks like Texas, Ohio State, Oregon, and Penn State are all 5-0. 4-1 Georgia at number five. And then undefeated Miami, Alabama, Tennessee, Ole Miss, and Clemson round up the top 10.
Nice.
All right. Yesterday, we talked about our Jeff Passan interview. He was on with us for 22 minutes yesterday, man. That was great. You made a joke about, shams could never or something like that.
Ben,
roasting him from the chat.
One of our YouTube commenters mentioned it. And I thought I sensed just a hint of awkwardness from Jeff. He didn't really address it so much because the rumors were out there.
Everybody was laughing. I heard Woodsy like, please don't leave. You can't leave.
Yeah. That he was going to take over as the new NBA insider for ESPN.
And he was going to be like a super insider and maybe do both. It was just so weird. Well, maybe an hour after we got off the air yesterday, Jeff Passan posted the clip from Wolf of Wall Street, Leonardo DiCaprio. If you haven't seen it, I'm not going anywhere.
Yep.
He used some more choice words. And then it was announced shortly after that ESPN has poached Shams Charania from The Athletic, and I think Stadium is where he was at. And he is going to be the heir apparent. I mean, depending on who you ask, he was already the number one guy. It was either 1A and 1B, him and Woj.
Yep.
Woj moves on. They bring in Shams, so now ESPN maintains their role at the top of the NBA insider list.
So, a couple of thoughts on this. I was surprised just because I would have assumed that Shams, like The Athletic and Stadium, would have had a deal, like locked him up and not allowed this. Maybe Shams was smart enough having an out, like, hey, but if ESPN ever comes calling,
I'll
leave. Can take that job. I've got, like, an exception because there really is no than being ESPN's if you're an NBA guy. Being their top NBA insider. And you mentioned Woj. I don't know if either of you saw this, but Woj did Jim Rome's podcast, I think it was, yesterday. And, he's taken over at his alma mater, St. Bonaventure, working in their athletic department. And he said something that A guy I've known for a long time, Lee Jenkins, used to write for Sports Illustrated. He is now vice president of like PR and marketing with the Clippers.
My beloved.
And Woj said, Lee Jenkins gave me some advice that I took to heart. He says, you can be great at something, but you don't have to do it forever. And Woj said, you're right. You know what? I've done this. I've loved it. I've been great at it, but it doesn't mean that I have to do it forever. And I immediately thought of Woods going, I feel like Woods has got that attitude as well.
100%.
He doesn't feel like he has to do this forever. And how am I going to convince him not to Woj himself at some point and just pack up one day and go, you know what? I've done this enough. I don't have to do this forever. I'm leaving you, Ben.
Yeah, hanging on too long is one of my greatest fears, man. You got to know when to fold them. I will say this with Adam on the line here. If SiriusXM comes calling and I'm allowed to curse while I do my show, I'm sorry. I don't know that there's any amount of money that you could offer me to make me stay. If I could actually be my true, authentic self and let the F-bombs fly, this morning would have been the most legendary show you've ever heard. I've had to keep some in reserve, though. So,
yeah,
Sirius.
They're going to make you talk about the NFL 87% of the time, which you're never going to do.
That's true.
And Shams, I'm reading. He's only 30 years old, man.
Jesus,
I remember
dude,
he kind of like burst onto the scene. He in college, he was like working on networking with NBA
30.
Sources, and now he's 30 years old, and he's the guy.
Are you sure
crazy.
He's not just an AI, just like a bot or something? He's an actual person. People have seen him in real life, right? He's not.
I'm assuming
he's not just okay. He looks kind of fake in that picture,
yeah,
doesn't he?
Yeah,
a little bit.
Yeah.
All right, and then finally, it is October. It is almost spooky season, and that means trick-or-treating, especially if you have young kids, Woods. And what do you say when you knock on the door? It's trick-or-treat.
Trick-or-treat. That's
What's
it.
The rest of that?
Smell my feet. Give me something good to eat.
Yes. Well,
if you don't, I don't care. I'll pull down your underwear.
Yeah, you can't
which
do that
is very
anymore.
Creepy.
Right.
Probably
creepy.
Shouldn't do that. Trick-or-treat. Smell my feet. And Airheads is taking that to the next level. They are releasing a candy-scented foot spray that smells like Airheads because trick or treat smell my feet.
Oh,
I don't want to smell anybody's feet, and I don't need
like
to smell it like
no.
Airheads. No. Yeah,
I mean, it's not the worst smelling foot you could have.
You know, you
it's
going to
smell like the cherry, the red,
fine. Yeah,
the red Airheads bar.
You gonna buy some for Hannah?
I'm all in.
Is this your plan?
I'm
Airheads
on board.
Foot spray.
Well, if you'd like to. They're not going to sell them right away. You can go on their website. They are giving away limited quantities. So go to airheadsfootspray.com and get yours today.
Elisa says Dave Roberts probably hands out pennies to trick-or-treaters. yeah, probably toothbrushes, oranges, little mini tangerines.
What's the worst trick-or-treat? Well, I mean, what's the worst thing you can get?
Like as far as candy?
Candy corn, yeah.
Candy corn. It's up there.
That's like the worst Halloween giveaway.
Yeah.
I don't really like Mike and Ike's. I think those
Mike
are garbage. Charleston shoes are hideous.
I can't stand Mounds and Almond Joy.
Oh,
but
I
you
love them. Bring me all your Mounds.
You love Mounds.
What did you say? Oh, you love them? Oh, man. How about raisins? It's garbage. I mean, I like raisins, but I don't want them for Halloween.
What about raisinettes? Covered
disgusting.
In chocolate? No,
absolutely disgusting.
Like that, no.
Now, I changed my tune. I used to not like the 100 grand bar. I thought it was for
what?
For pederasts. I love it now. It's like one of my favorite
Thank
candy
you.
Bars. I love them. They're absolutely delicious.
I've actually got top Halloween candies are M&M's, Reese's Cups, Sour Patch Kids, Skittles, Starbursts, Hot Tamales, Candy Corn, Hershey Kiss, Hershey Mini Bars, and Butterfinger.
I'll eat them. I will eat a Hershey mini bar so fast, make your head spin. Just the plain little chocolate bars.
So I was walking through Costco the other day, as I tend to do, and they were giving out samples of the mini candy packs. And so I'm looking there, and there's the mini Twix bar, and I'm going, "All right, who are these samples for?
Who's not had one?
I've always wanted to try a Twix bar. Oh, is that what that tastes like? Thank you for the sample. I was so curious my entire life. What a mini Twix bar
do you,
tasted
now,
like.
Do you have
no,
to?
No, I ate that thing.
Do
no
you have
problem.
To do the bit where you walk up and you go, what is this?
What is that? Yeah.
Oh,
I'll take
that. Good. You know what it tastes like?
You know
it tastes like a Twix. I've had 7,000 of these.
It wasn't even the Kirkland version. It was just an actual Twix bar.
Twix going, brand Twix bar.
Who are you trying to convince here? Honestly, it made no sense. Okay, yeah, that's a Twix bar.
That's fantastic.
Just like the other 800 I've had in my life.
You wonder if they're like, bro, we have way too much inventory. They're like, just give out samples of this. I mean, you have no idea why.
There's the whole element of the Costco samplers, the people who like hover and circle while they're bringing out the new
nuggets
items,
or whatever.
The people who do the big circles around the aisles.
How
so
much
they can,
do you
like,
graze
get them again.
There?
I only if I'm walking by and there's something
it's
sitting
there.
Right there.
Okay.
I will not like wait. I will not come back. But if it's sitting there and it's like, all right, I'll take it as I go by.
For sure. That's fantastic.
And that is our Rindle Report, Pauly. Thank you very much.
Very welcome.
All right. We'll come back. We got game three, obviously, today. But don't forget, there's also a game four tomorrow.
Guaranteed.
We still don't have a pitching matchup on either side for that game. What Mike Schilt had to say about game four coming up with Bennett Woods after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Just gave away some Bennett Woods merch here at Rick's Baja Cantina. Don't forget, broadcasting live all day. Andy and Elston are coming up at 10 o'clock. Next up, still a long ways off from our Sammy Levitt EcoWater SoCal pregame show at 5:08. First pitch tonight at 6:08, and there are a couple of questions still lingering for tonight and tomorrow, Woods, with this series. First, the status of Xander Bogaerts, who came out after hitting that home run, dealing with the leg cramping, and we'll have an update here, some Mike Schilt audio. Also, who is going to pitch tomorrow in Game 4 for the San Diego Padres? Mike Schilt addressed both of those issues at yesterday's off-day news conference.
Just wanted to check in on Xander Bogaerts and how he's doing today after last night.
We're pretty optimistic. There was just a little bit of dehydration, and he's going to be just fine. There's nothing that we feel like is going to be anything that's going to compromise him, but we'll find out more today after he gets treatment, but we're optimistic.
Mike, now that we know that there will be a Game 4, do you have any update on who would potentially start that game, and is it contingent on what happens in Game 3?
Not necessarily contingent upon Game 3. We do have an idea. We're going to finalize today and maybe announce something either today or tomorrow.
Is Dylan Cease an option for that on short rest?
All options are on the table at this point.
All options are on the table, but the fact that he has an idea and they may announce it at some point today leads me again to believe it's not going to be Dylan Cease. There's almost no way you'd start Dylan Cease if you won today's game.
Correct.
I mean, you think about it maybe if you're down 2-1, you hate firing your last bullets without putting your best players in an elimination game, but if you've already have a good idea who it's going to be, I mean, the plan for the Padres is to win tonight and have tomorrow be a clinching game. And if you've got that opportunity, my guess is as you did in the first series, you're going to save Dylan Cease in reserve again for a Game 5 if necessary. You could even bring back Michael King in a bullpen role in Game 5
if necessary.
Yu Darvish, same thing. Everything's on the table there. So I'm still thinking, Woods, we'll see Xander tonight. Dehydration sucks. I've had those cramps where you're, you know, golfing all day and you didn't drink enough water and all of a sudden it hits you. They're bad, but they don't generally linger for 2 days. I'm sure you got some fluids, probably feeling hopefully fine today, not worried about Xander. What do you think the Padres are going to do tomorrow based on what you heard from Mike Schilt?
Honestly, man, I think it would probably be I think it'd be a nice short outing one time through the lineup for Martin Perez. And then you rely on your bullpen. You probably maybe you try to hold guys back tonight if you can. You know, the Brian Hoeings of the world, the maybe even the Adrian Morahones.
Another 7 innings for Michael King would do the trick.
Another 7 innings of Michael King tonight, and an offense that shows up and roasts Walker Buehler, the watchless Walker Buehler. Roast him tonight, and, you know, it certainly opens up a lot more options for you tomorrow. It's hard for me to imagine that it's not really contingent on what happens. That's something that you say. Plans change. I think you have to be fluid during the playoffs, and they have been. And, you know, obviously Joe going down is a huge, huge blow, and it just breaks your heart. But, you know, like Mike Schilt says, losers complain,
winners
find
solutions.
Yes. I trust that the brain trust will find a solution.
I would be very tempted, and I don't think Mike Schilt will be, but I would be tempted to maybe go with an opener like Adrian Morejon, who we saw get it, you know, up in Shohei's kitchen. You know, he got a hit, but he broke his bat.
Yeah.
You know, get a tough, hard-throwing left-hander in there the first time to try to set the tone and get a zero on the scoreboard in the top of the inning tomorrow. And then, you know, you could have Martin Perez for length. If you got two out of Adrian Morejon, perhaps, you could even bring in a righty in to face the bottom of the lineup and then bring in Perez for the second time, lefty against Shohei Ohtani, and have him be your length guy. I would assume, though, that Martin Perez will get the start and will be in there, assuming, you know, he's throwing well, 12 batters is kind of what the baseline is.
Yeah.
Get through Ohtani, Betts, and Freeman once. As a lefty, you probably give them the second shot at Ohtani and Freeman. And then after that, all bets are off.
Yeah,
you may go to the bullpen at that point. You may not, depending on how he's doing. But my guess is he will go with Martin Perez tomorrow.
There's not a lot of guys on this roster that I don't trust in a big moment. And Martin Perez is a winner. Pitched for the Rangers last year. I've seen some pretty amazing things this playoff so far from other teams. Jose Quintana's performance the other night was outstanding. Matthew Boyd, his performance was outstanding yesterday going up against Tarek Skubal. It's the playoffs, you know, and big-time players make big-time plays in the playoffs. So I think whatever they decide, man, I'm in favor of it. And there's a ton of options. You mentioned Sean Reynolds out there throwing, you know, yesterday. And if his knee is holding up, he may be an interesting piece to add as well. So I really have no idea what they're going to do. I don't think you really need to do anything until you see how tonight goes, but I've been wrong before.
So essentially what you need tomorrow is you need, if you can get five innings out of the combination of Perez, Morejon, Hoeing, and if you needed to bring in a Peralta or Matsui,
yeah, you
that
could.
Gets you to your four, Estrada, Adams, Scott, Suarez,
yeah.
Four innings. If you can get through five, yeah, yes, if you add Estrada.
Yes.
So, I mean, I see a path of five innings from those guys. You can get through that game with good arms. I mean, we're not talking about bad arms
about
at all. We're talking about good arms that the Padres can use in that game tomorrow. One other note from yesterday. I did see that. I don't know if he was listening to the program. Speaking of Jeremiah Estrada, he brought up the same idea that I did, that Major League Baseball maybe shouldn't play Game 5 at Dodger Stadium based on the antics of the fans in Game 2, that just keep everybody down here, move it to San Diego. He said, quote, if I was the commissioner of baseball, I wouldn't even allow a Game 5 at their place. I mean, why? Why would you want to test that to happen? Again, that's hard to control people. Something's going to happen. This is, of course, Estrada, who grew up as a Dodgers fan.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. You know, Major League Baseball has made it fairly known through channels that they are, if this series goes five, it will go back to Dodger Stadium for a fifth game. But I wasn't the only one who brought that up yesterday, Woods.
Yeah, it's an interesting thought, but never going to happen.
Yeah, and just like suspending Manny Machado is an interesting thought by the Dodgers, but is never going to happen.
Bob Nightingale just tweeted an article that says MLB is not going to move a potential Game 5 from Dodger Stadium no matter what the Padres want. MLB is not going to suspend Manny Machado no matter what the Dodgers want. Peaceful behavior from the Padres fans tonight, that's what both teams want. I don't know that you can say that. I don't know that you can say both teams want peaceful behavior from Padres fans after the BS that you pulled yesterday at the press conference and the BS that you pulled, you know, so far today. But I would like that. I would like Padres fans to show them how it's done this morning and let them know this is how we do it in San Diego. We're not like you guys. Song is not like us. Let's not be like them. You know, let's be like us.
By the way, peaceful behavior does not mean quiet.
Right, yeah.
Peaceful behavior still means loud, disruptive,
raucous.
To the Dodgers, raucous. You need to make things uncomfortable for the Dodgers. You just can't throw things onto the field.
Correct.
And you shouldn't be fighting in the stands. After that, yeah, you should be screaming at them
tomorrow
and making them feel it today and tomorrow while you're here. You've got a chance to end the series, not send it back up to a Game 5. Do everything you can to make sure the Padres get it done, because this isn't just about beating the Dodgers. You know, a couple of years ago, it felt
like that.
A little
yep.
bit
this
like it was just about beating the Dodgers.
This needs
is
to
just
be
a step
bump. Yeah,
it's a step.
Yep.
And your best chance of winning the World Series is to beating the Dodgers in four.
Yep.
And having at least, you know, 3 days off before you either have to go to Philadelphia or have the Mets come to Petco Park for an NLCS. Let those teams beat up on each other while you're taking care of business at home. If it goes five, fine. It's not the end of the world. If you get through them, you get through them. That's the most important thing. But if you are a World Series team, generally the World Series champs take care of business in the early rounds. Padres have a chance to take care of business in the next 2 days here at Petco Park.
Just another baseball game, man. That's it. That's how you have to approach it tonight.
With a good pitcher on the mound and Michael
Caine. Good pitcher on the mound and a good lineup that's swinging the bats well. So that's it.
All right, we're going to take our final timeout. When we come back, we will give away some tickets. Adam will give away tickets back in the studio. Call in to win Sublime. And Rome coming to Gallagher Square with Rome. Sublime.
It's Jim Rome.
With Rome.
It's Romy. Sublime.
Ben Smack.
Jim
Clones.
Rome. Yeah. Clones.
With Sublime. We'll do that when we come back with Bennett Woods live from the Gas Lamp. We're at Rick's Baja Cantina. Oh, that's right. Baja Rick's Cantina.
He's had way too much tequila already.
Ben is hammered.
Woo! Go Padres on San Diego's number one sports station. 97.3 The Fan. Final segment of Ben and Woods here on a playoff Tuesday. Live from Baja Rick's Cantina in the Gas Lamp. I have sobered up during the break.
Thank
and I'm
you.
Ready to give away some tickets. If you want to call in right now, fifth caller at 833-288-0973 is going to win a pair of tickets to see
sure?
Sublime with Rome at Gallagher Square on November 23rd. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Fifth caller, 833-288-0973. Sublime with Rome at Gallagher Square on November 23rd.
Got it.
Adam, while you're doing that, you can play some traffic for us.
You need to go pull the trigger or something?
You're good?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Hair of the dog? Or?
Woods, you asked a question during the break. Do the Padres just go with the same lineup as game two?
Yeah.
Scored 10 runs and hit 6 home runs and featured David Peralta in there and Luis Arraez playing first base.
Well, if there's one thing that we know about Mike Schilt is he likes to ride the hot hand, doesn't he? I mean, he likes to stay consistent, and if it ain't broke, don't fix it. We've heard all of that this year, and I tend to agree with that, and I think you got to get David Peralta in there. I'm looking at some of the numbers against Walker Buehler. Fernando Tatis Jr., no surprise, pretty much owns Walker Buehler right now. OPS over 1,000, 4 bombs in 29 ABs against him. Peralta's hit 226. He's had some success off of him. Gets on base against him. Jackson Merrill, 500 average. Manny, 286. Higgy, 500. Profar has struggled with Walker Buehler a little bit this year.
What about
year.
Solano? Because that would be the question of him versus Peralta.
Solano is 0 for 8.
All right. Well, then I would say, yeah, go with David Peralta
yep.
again. Get the lefty in there, and you'll be aggressive. If they bring in a left-hander
yep.
at some point to pitch, even if it's the fourth or fifth inning, then you can make that switch over to Donovan Solano. The only needed to, those are your two best pinch hitters. Whoever's not starting, Peralta, Solano.
Right.
Do you want to hold them into reserve later in the game in case there's a big situation, or do you want to aggressively switch your lineup in the middle of the game once they, switch pitchers and go to a different hand?
Yeah, I mean, look, the bench that we, kind of all looked at as a big strength this entire season, I think this is the case for every postseason team. You get to the playoffs, and where you're tempted to make those moves a little earlier because of the do-or-die nature of the games, your bench just, at the end of the day, you look, you go, all right, it's the eighth, and I've got Lockridge and Wade. One guy can get a bunt down. One guy's decent on defense with some really good speed that can steal a bag, and it doesn't look as sexy as it once did. Elias Diaz, being the backup for Higgy. It's not as sexy in the playoffs as we thought it was.
I mean, there's a reason why in the regular season, for the most part, you held on to Peralta or Solano for late at-bats. Why wouldn't you do the same, even though it's a playoff game?
Boy, you get that feeling of, like, we're running out of time, we're running out of innings, we need a spark, we got to go matchup-based here. And, yeah, I know it's – I mean, think about the playoffs, what we've seen other than Boyd and Scooble yesterday. Nobody's really given and King against the Braves. No one's given a ton of length. There's not a ton of 7-8 innings. Everyone's quick to make that jump to the bullpen. And so I think the same thing goes with the lineup. As soon as they jump to the bullpen, well, I got a righty that can counter this lefty that they just brought in. I know it's the fifth, but you see guys making those moves, and I don't know how to feel about it. I don't know what I would do if I was in the same position, but it's going to change. They're not riding the same pitchers for 3-4 innings. It's a different guy, so your bench becomes very important. I don't know that you want just those three guys left at the end of the bench if there's a big spot coming. So it's a tough call for Schilty.
Obviously, you're still riding with Kyle Higashioka. I mean, you need his hot bat, especially with the numbers you mentioned, decent against Walker Buehler. I will bring it up again, though. I don't know that you want to get in the same situation you were 2 years ago where Austin Nola caught every
single
game. Well,
you've already got Diaz in. Diaz has already gotten in. So.
Late in the game.
Yeah,
but
fine.
He hasn't started a game.
You don't need him to start a game, really, right
no,
now.
No, but
you
at
don't.
Some point, you're going to have to put him in. I don't know, game four tomorrow possibly, if you think about
You can't take Kiki's bat out of the lineup right now. He's the hottest hitter in Major League Baseball.
That's a short conversation if Schilt goes up to Higgy and he's like, how you feeling? He's like, I'm good. Are you seeing how I'm swinging? Yeah, I'm fine.
Remember, 2 years ago, Austin Nola was hot in the first, you know, he against the Mets.
If it
started hot against the Dodgers, then slowly wore down until he was completely useless at the plate and looked like a shell.
There was something going on behind the scenes with Alfaro.
Yeah. There was.
It was petering out.
But yeah. I just assume at some point, Elias Diaz is going to get a start, hopefully, if the playoffs continue.
You don't need to start him.
Not today.
He doesn't have to start.
I was thinking maybe tomorrow.
He doesn't have to start. You're not giving anybody rest. We're not resting guys, and nobody needs a blow right now. You know, it's just the playoffs just started. I think, you know, you get down the road a little bit, maybe, but I think
you take care of business tonight. You get a couple of days off after that.
That's exactly right.
Well, after tomorrow.
I've seen some fans who have said, you know, Jurickson still getting some walks, but has not been hitting. Do you consider moving Jackson Merrill up again and dropping Jurickson down in the lineup? You do.
I'm a lunatic, though. So, yeah, don't listen to me. They won't. But I
don't think they will.
I don't think they will.
I'd be surprised. I think they're going to roll with Jurickson until the happy or bitter end, one way or another, is their number three.
Well,
he's earned it this season.
And honestly, Manny, if Manny picks it up with the bat, you know, Merrill being there behind him is ultimately a really, really great thing. So, you know, Manny needs to get start swinging the stick a little bit better. Crony obviously needs to get it going.
Is this a big game for him?
Yeah, it's massive, dude. It's massive. Crony needs to get it going, period.
I thought perhaps that, you know, garbage time game at the end yesterday might be an opportunity for Jake to get going, and he struck out, and I go, ooh. All right, I was thinking, just hit a hit here. It doesn't have to be a home run. Just, you know, hit a line drive, get a single here, get off the schneid in the playoffs, and it wasn't a great-looking at-bat.
No.
Hopefully the day off. Obviously, he was in the cage, probably with Victor Rodriguez yesterday. I don't think he's at Mookie Betts levels of introspection and, you know, any self-doubt with Jake.
He always comes out of it.
But, you know, it will be helpful. If they want to go all the way, you're going to need a contribution from Jake. You're going to need Jurickson to do something with the bat at some point. You don't have to do it every single day. Plenty of guys have stepped up, but you know, you can't just take offers every single day, so I'd like to see Jake get going tonight as well.
He has not had great success against Walker Buehler either. Just a couple of hits in 18 at-bats. But, hey, man, not how you start, it's how you finish, certainly.
No guarantee Walker Buehler's around in the second inning tonight.
That's true.
You know, if it starts going badly at the top of that order, I'd imagine Dave Roberts is going to, with a bullpen rested from yesterday, is going to have a quick hook.
Didn't
use his high-leverage relievers the day before either.
You know, play elite defense at second base. You know, do that at a bare minimum. And you know, I trust that the hits will come. I know that the work's being put in, certainly. Jake loves being a Padre. He loves playing baseball, dude. So this is probably ripping him apart inside. He has traditionally played really well against the Dodgers. So hopefully that streak continues. The wife will be in the house tonight, so maybe that's a little extra motivation for him.
You will see Trinan tonight. You will see Kopech tonight. Probably both games, you know, 3 and 4. Unless something unusual happens, the Dodgers are going to go down fighting, and you'll see those guys. Now, as the Padres get more looks against them, saw them at the end of the season, saw them in game one, did not see them in game two, but more opportunities to face high-leverage relievers generally is good things for batters. You know, the more opportunities you get to see a guy and how they're releasing pitches, you know, hopefully they'll get a chance to score some runs against the bullpen.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's going to be a long rest of the day till we get to first pitch.
Again,
6:08.
Do have some baseball before
6:08,
that. 2:08. The 2:08 game is the Philadelphia Phillies at the New York Mets, just as pivotal. Same situation. Tied 1-1. Going to New York now, where the Mets are hoping to win the next two and not have to go back to Philadelphia for a Game 5. It's going to be Sean Manaea on the mound for the Mets. He has pitched really well for that team this season and done it deep into the season, something, of course, he didn't do 2 years ago with the Padres when he, by his own admission, stopped putting in the work
and let things tail off
at the end of the season and became kind of a non-effective option for Bob Melvin. Aaron Nola is going for Philadelphia, and obviously, you know, he's been in plenty of playoff games before, and I'm sure the Phillies feel good about his chances, but I would imagine that will be a fairly a low-scoring game. I mean, you know, we did see some big hits and home runs 2 days ago. see what happens in game three of that series this afternoon.
It's everything you dream of, man, this NLDS right now. Oh, yeah, Paul even put this together. So you can go to Ben and Woods on Instagram, and there's our link tree. It's on Twitter, I think, as well. And if you wanted to go buy one of our tier ones last night came up with a great idea for a T-shirt. So I said, Paulie, what's the quickest we can turn this merch around? And I said, Paulie said, about 5 minutes, and had it up in the merch store. You can go get yourself your own Villains versus Victims T-shirt. Because I have never seen
Villains in gold.
Villains in gold.
Victims in blue. Yeah.
I would spend $1,000 to get it here by tonight to be able to wear it. It's not of it. You're not going to get it by tonight. But
you can get the coffee mug or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Else. Yeah.
But the Dave Roberts calling the Padres the villains and yet acting like a victim since the first pitch before this happened. You know, we got the long layoff. Yeah, we're the first seed. We're the best team overall in baseball. Yeah, we got home field advantage, but we're underdogs. Nobody believes in us. Yeah, we got three MVPs at the top of our lineup. Yeah, we got a lockdown bullpen. Yeah, we spent $1 billion in the offseason. Nobody believes in us. Nobody thinks we can do it. So, yeah, villains versus victims. It reminds me when I was a kid, you know, my dad went to Notre Dame, big Irish fan, and I remember when he hand-delivered me my very first Catholics versus Convicts shirt, and I proudly wore it to school in, like, seventh grade. You know, that my dad, he taught me well. And one of my favorite shirts of all times, Villains versus Victims, is going to be my close second.
All right.
I'm getting one for the kids, the whole thing. Like, we're going to really lean into this.
I would say that one thing that Dave Roberts has been very successful at, he wanted to take that underdog role. Now he's got it. In today's game, he has got it. Padres are going in as favorites. They are the betting favorites in today's game. I think emotionally, we all feel that the series has shifted in its tenor after that Game 2 win on Tuesday. And a lot of people, even around the country, are expecting the Padres to win at least this game tonight. We'll see, you know, what happens in the rest of the way. It could change as early as tomorrow. But do you feel like most of the rest of the country does, that the Padres are now in a good position going into Game 3?
Yeah, I think it's kind of what you dream of, man, having a guy like Michael King on the bump who just had a really, really nice playoff start for you. Dominant against a really good hitting Braves team that was, you know, I know they had guys hurt, man, but they had some. When you looked at that lineup when they showed up, you went, oh, God, crap, I forgot. There's some really, really good players on this team as well. Dodgers are star-studded, certainly. They've got Grant at the bottom. Guys that, you know, the Gavin Luxes of the world, they scare you to death. The Miguel Rojases, they scare you to death. Of course Shohei scares you. Of course Mookie, an injured or a wounded Mookie Betts, who's hit 400 balls in the cage yesterday, that is grinding for success, looking for a knock. Yeah, man, they scare the crap out of you. They're hungry too.
One thing I'll be looking for tonight is how Michael King responds to some adversity. And that's not saying that he's not going to pitch well, but even Yu Darvish, as good as he was, you know, gave up a run on a sacrifice fly, had some runners on. Now, Michael King did pitch out of a couple of early jams against the Braves,
yep.
But it's unlikely Michael King is going to go through the entire postseason with a 0.00 ERA. So when a run comes, if it happens tonight, you know, how does Michael King bounce back? It's kind of easy to stay locked in a groove when you just came off 7 shutout innings and 12 strikeouts. When that doesn't happen, when it's whether it's the, you know, second inning, fourth inning, gives up a run, an RBI single, a sacrifice
sure.
fly, whatever, does Michael King just bounce right back and keep it going and feel like, hey, I have not lost any of that momentum at all that I've put together? Dodgers are going to score in this series,
he's
I
done
would
it.
Think.
You know, he's done it. He's done it a lot this season. And, you know, I brought it up yesterday, but this is a guy that everybody had pegged to start in the bullpen. You know, this postseason, and he went out and he won you game one. And let's see if he can go out and win you game one at home, because I love him, I trust him, and the guy wants this moment. And he certainly rose to it. Means nothing that he had a great outing the first time. It means nothing that Mookie hasn't had a hit in 3 years in the postseason. All of it goes out the window, all of it, when it comes to playoff baseball. So guys are going to step up tonight. Yeah, I mean, I like our chances tonight. I'm very pleased with I am pleased with everything that's happened. You know, as much as it's annoying and the national media, you know, again, this team has proven time after time, don't piss us off. Don't kick the hornet's nest. And if they're playing with a little bit of extra fire, which I can't imagine you need in front of 47,000 screaming fans tonight, so be it.
Last message, and you stated it eloquently in your State of the Union yesterday, but to Padres fans out there, be loud, be enthusiastic,
be proud.
What was your line?
And
if Dodgers fans want to fight other Dodgers fans, let them. We want them to feel at home.
We want them to feel right at home. And but yeah, man, if you see your fellow Padre fan acting a fool tonight, you know, try to rein him in a little bit.
You know, 47,000. There'll be someone who probably had a few too many before the game. If you see that kind of behavior from fellow Padres fans,
probably you actually.
Alert security.
You've had a few too many before game.
I had three sips, so yeah, I'm definitely probably feeling it.
Throwing stuff from the top of the Marriott.
Alert security, and you know, let's be the good guys in this series.
Yeah,
and
let
the Dodgers fans be the bad guys.
You don't want to turn the narrative away. Yeah.
There's only one real villain in this series, Dave, and they were all the people in your stands.
Yep.
In game two.
Yeah.
Let's not give them any reason to think that the same thing will happen here.
Keep your head about you this evening. Very excited. Can't speak to how my voice is going to sound tomorrow on the show. Holy smokes, man. I got pretty decent seats tonight. I'm going to be going nuts, screaming and yelling and booing, certainly, when I see Dave come out. But no, man, it should be – this is what we live for.
A lot of people we have to thank for today's broadcast. Baja Ricks for hosting us, everybody who works here. We've got our engineering, promotions, sales staff on site doing a great job getting us all set up. Less technical difficulties today. Pretty smooth. On the broadcast, sounded really good. And then Adam Klug back in our studio running the show. And, of course, Santo Tequila bringing us all. We got a Beat L.A. chant going. Annie and Elston are here. They're coming up next. For our executive producer, Paul Reindl, for Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. between games 3 and 4 of the NLDS right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.